Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Yes, welcome to Ask Rob and Rob. It's another week. That means two more questions and two more answers to help you on your way in property and add to that knowledge bank of yours. As always, we've got a couple of great questions sent in by listeners. And if you'd like to follow in the illustrious footsteps of Megan and Femi, who are today's questioners, we make it really easy for you to do so.
Yeah, the system is a simple one. You can either phone in or go via our website. If you want to phone, you can call 013 808 0035. That's 013 808 0035. Or go to thepropertyhub.net/ask. That's thepropertyhub.net/ask. And luckily, Megan from Bournemouth has followed that simple process and given us a great question.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Megan from Bournemouth. I'll try to keep it succinct, but it's a bit of a tricky one. So we managed to purchase our first residential property for way below market value. We then managed to renovate it and sell it on for a profit of roughly $100,000. We then went on to purchase our second residential property, again, way below market value. It needed a heck of a lot of work, full rewire, replaster, re-everything. And we're looking to put that back on the market shortly for quite a good gain, really. Looking to get probably sort of $550 for it. So that leaves us with roughly around $200,000 capital to reinvest. So flips are something I'm really interested in. Or do I go down the route of buy-to-let? Really, really interested in investing in Liverpool. My family lives there all their lives. I was born there and then moved down to Bournemouth. So the trouble is, what do I do with my money? We've either got the option of cashing out when we sell and doing a flip down south, which is notoriously very expensive. There is opportunity to make money, clearly. You know, we've done it twice now. We would need to downsize to free up the capital, and it's something I'm not 100% comfortable in because I've not done it before using things like bridging finance. I've always just used a regular mortgage. Or I can go down the route of just investing in, say, two or three vanilla buy-to-lets and then just watch the rent come in. My gut feeling tells me that I won't find that exciting enough, but I'm just a bit nervous about doing that. The other option, the third option, would be to carry on and move up the ladder property-wise into a bigger home that needed more work and spend more time on that to release more capital in, say, another 12 months' time. And then I've got the option of potentially doing both a flip and both the buy-to-lets up north. Just stuck and need a bit of advice, really. I'm not sure what the best route to go down is. I know you're not really, you know, you can't really advise and it's my personal choice, but just kind of want your opinions, really. Right, thank you. Sorry for the really long message. Bye.
Megan, first of all, well done. That is a heck of a track record. A profit of 100k on a flip is absolutely phenomenal. And for anyone who doesn't know, as this was Megan's residential home, there's no tax to pay on the capital gain. So the fact that it was a flip of her own home rather than an investment will have saved roughly 20 grand of tax right there. So it's an amazing strategy. If you're happy to keep on doing this, to keep on moving into a new home that's a bit of a wreck, doing it up and selling it on a year later or however long it takes, then it's a brilliant thing to do from a tax point of view. And of course, there are other advantages like being really close to where it's all happening. So it's no problem managing it if you're not doing all the work yourself. And because it is your home, you'll have a really good idea of how to present it to the end buyer as a home when you come to sell. So plenty of advantages, but of course it comes with downsides in terms of the fact that most people don't enjoy living on building sites. So whether this is something you want to carry on doing isn't just a matter of strategy and numbers and goals. All those things are important and we'll cover them, but it's not just that. It also comes down to what are you willing to actually put up with in your everyday life. And part of that as well is where you're willing and able to live. So if you don't have the capital to be doing a flip on the size of property that you would want to be living in, or the location of property you'd want to be living in, then that's another compromise that you'll have to make. What I think is going to be interesting for a lot of listeners, though, is that you're doing these flips, you're doing really well, it sounds amazing. And what you said you're scared of, which is just buying some vanilla buy-to-lets, is the kind of thing that most people would do. And what you're doing would be scary to most people, which just goes to show how much property is about you and your personality and your skills, as well as the numbers and the goals and everything else. So those are some of the factors to be thinking about. But Rob, to actually work round to an answer here, we do need to go a little bit big picture and talk about those goals.
Yeah, we can't tell you exactly what you should do because we don't have enough information, but we can give you the process you need to go on to be able to come up with a decision yourself. The thing is, Megan, that so many people get into this position where they start to focus on strategies and they go, which one should I do? But so many people forget to think about what is the whole purpose behind this? What is motivating me to do this? And that will then help you rule in and out different types of strategies. So if you want to retire in 5 years' time, you may need to go on a very aggressive flipping strategy and build up a wonderful cash pot that you can invest then in properties that yield well. That'll get you out of employment forever. Or if you love what you do and you want just that security of retirement, then flips is probably not the most efficient way to get you there, because holding long-term assets that give you a regular income and are hands-off is probably a better approach. So it's going to come down to your goals and then to your lifestyle. Now, clearly, you have the ability and the patience to do flips, but not everybody has the time, resources, knowledge to do flips. So they'll go for the easier option, which is buying and holding. So once you understand your goals and you get very clear what they are in terms of putting a number on it, both financially and in timescales, and then coming back to the present and assessing what is and isn't acceptable to you or what is and isn't possible, will then go a long way to helping you make those decisions.
So, Megan, it's a balancing act. It's going to depend on your goals. It's going to depend on your preferences and what it is that you actually want as well. I would say, though, that it does potentially sound like you've got the ability to do both. If you can, just do one more flip and that would get you into a position where you've got a cash pot that will allow you to keep on doing what you're doing with the flips and acquire buy-to-lets. Then you're in a position where every flip you do, you just put the same capital back into the next flip and take the profit and build up the buy-to-let portfolio. That way, you're keeping your cash pot consistent and you can keep doing what you're good at, but you've also got this long-term income stream building up on the side. So if you are able to get into that position, it's a very good place to be. So that's our first question this week, duly answered. Let's have a listen to our second one. This one is from Femi.
Hi, my name is Femi. Thanks for your podcast. It's been very, very useful. My question is around investments for people who are probably over 40. What advice can you give for people who want to get onto the property ladder and are over 40? Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Femi. Short but sweet. You're screwed. You're too old. Next question. No, only joking. Femi, you're very young and you've got lots of time, particularly with property. At 40, what we see as traditional retirement age today at 65 gives you a 25-year run at this. So are you limited with your options at 40? Absolutely not. You can pretty much take on any strategy. You may not want to take on any strategy, but your age is not a limiting factor here. You can go short-term or long-term and both will pay off. Now, like in our previous question, this will come down to your goals. If you want to retire early, say 50, then you are going to have to adapt your strategy and your tolerance to risk. You're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive, possibly put more funds in or put more of your time in. The thing to take reassurance from is that at over 40, you may feel like, oh, well, I've missed, you know, a number of good years to get into some property. And yes, the earlier you start, the better. But the majority of people who do invest are around 40 or older because you have to get in a financial position to be able to invest. And for most people, that takes a number of years to accumulate that wealth, either through their own savings or capital gains through the property they own. If you're listening to this in your 20s and you've already started or about to start, well, lucky you. You know, the sky is absolutely the limit. But if you're in your 40s and haven't started yet, that is absolutely normal. So don't fret. Don't beat yourself up. Once again, start to think about what you want from this. Get very clear. Assess your life right now, because someone in their early 20s may have a very different lifestyle to someone in their 40s. You may have more commitments, possibly children, whatever else. So understand your future and what you want it to look like. Be very honest with yourself about your present and what is realistic in terms of strategy, and then start to make plans. And then finally, the most magic ingredient of all, take action. Don't be sending us another question in 10 years' time. God, that's scary to think we'll still be doing it. Asking what you should do when you're in your 50s. Femi, take action. Once you start, the learning and the lessons will accelerate massively. So by asking questions on this podcast and doing research, brilliant. But there's going to come a point where you're just going to have to take action. And it may seem scary and possibly the older you get, the scarier it gets. But actually, once you start, you'll go, what's the fuss about? Let's crack on and do some more.
Yeah, Femi, in your 40s, don't be concerned at all. You're still young enough that access to mortgages isn't going to be a problem, and you've still got plenty of time still to go. But if you're feeling like you've left it too late and you're regretting not getting started sooner, don't worry, that is completely normal. In fact, in the 35th episode of this podcast, which is now over 5 years ago, we recorded an episode called The Biggest Regrets in Property Investment. And the number one regret that almost everyone shared was wishing they started younger. But like Rob said, take action. I don't mean to end on a depressing note, but nobody listening is going to be getting any younger than you are today. So even if you wish you'd started 10 years ago, the second best time to start is right now. Well, while you're starting, it's time for us to finish. That is us done for Ask Rob and Rob this week, but we're going to be back with a very exciting episode of the Property Podcast this Thursday. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.